burn Hashem's up boiling on.
Wow. So look, Rabosai, my goal for today would be to try to accomplish the first 30 Makoros here that Rav Gladstein has put together. That's my goal. We'll see if we achieve it. To get to the point where he speaks about Midos and Pu'ulos. So let's begin with the mitzvah of Hachnosas Orchim of Avraham Avinu Vayomer. Now here we have Machlokas, how to read the next word, whether Ado and then Noi is Lashon Kodesh, it's referring to Hashem, or it's Lashon Chol, and he's talking to the highest of the three Malachim. Rashi says, Dovar Acher, Kodesh. So let's assume, like Rashi's second shot, and Avram is addressing HaKodesh Baruch Hu. And he says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Im no matzasi chen be'inecha, al no ta'avor me'alavdecha. Says Rashi, Hu omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu lahamtin lo ad shiyorutz v'yachnes esa orchim. Hashem, please, you know, hang in there. You know, linger on. Wait for me. I have to be mekayim the mitzvah achnos esa orchim. So Rashi asks a question, V'yafalpi shekosuv, this pasuk appears achar vayoratz lekrosom. In the Seder HaPsukim, right before this, it says vayar vayoratz lekrosom. So Avraham Avinu has already been, you know, on the path. You know, he's running out there to receive the Orchim. And now he's going to ask Hashem for permission to wait for him. Says Rashi, Hamira Kodim Lachain Hoysa. This statement in which he turns to Hashem comes really before Vayoratz Likrosam. And he says, Rashi, I'll give you examples of this from elsewhere. Derech HaMikros, Lidaber Kain, Kamosha Pirashti, Eitzalo Yodun, Ruchi Bi Odom, Shenichtav Achar Vayoled Noach. So even though Noach has not yet had the three children, but yet the Torah already describes Lo Yodun Ruchi Ba'am, the Efshalom Arkein, and it's impossible to say that's a Seder Advarim. So in other words, there are precedents for the fact that sometimes in the Seder HaPsukim, the Torah will first put the actual Maisa, even though that Maisa didn't take place until after the Amira. Okay. But now we get to the main question for today. Avraham Avinu is telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm sorry for the delay, but I have to go out and be mekayim the mitzvah of Hachnosas Orchim. So the Gemara Masechta Shabbos is going to derive conclusions from this parasha regarding the significance, the relative significance of what we might call Bein Adam L'Chavero and Bein Adam L'Mako. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Gedol Hachnosas Orchim Kehashkomas Beis HaMedrash. So you get up and you want to go learn in the morning, but the Orchim are on the way. What do? So according to Rabbi Yochanan, you're in a real bind because these two mitzvahs are equal in status. But then Rav Dimi, if you fast forward a little bit, Minar Doi Omar, Yoser Me'ashkom is based on Medrash. That the mitzvah of Achnosis Orchim supersedes in its significance the mitzvah of Beis HaMedrash. And therefore, if you have this collision, then for sure you should first give precedence to Hachnosas Orchim. Omar Rabbi Yehuda Omar Rav, I'm going to go even a step further. Gedol Hachnosas Orchim Mikabolas Pnei Shechina. Now, in the case of Bittul Beis Medrash, there, by choosing to give preference to Hachnosas Orchim, you're not insulting the Shechina, so to speak. It's Bittul Beis HaMedrash. You're giving up on your own personal opportunity to expand your, shall we say, spiritual horizons through the learning of Torah. But Hachnosas Orchim comes first, and we have to give kedima to a mitzvah that is Ben Adam L'Chavero. But Rabbi Yudom Rav goes a step further, and he says, G'dol Achnas Orchim Mikabolas Pnei Shechina. And that he's going to derive from Avraham Avinu, that Avraham Avinu is going to give preference to the Archim, even at the moment that he has the mitzvah of Kabbalas Pnei Shechina. And that's something that we have to figure out over here. Why and how? How did Avraham Avinu know such a thing? Rashi would seem to indicate that somehow before he actually went out to get the Archim, he got the okay from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, first in the Seder HaDvarim, he turns to God, Avraham, and he says to him, Al na tavar me'al avdecha, and then vayaretz l'krasam. Could be that somewhere in between, he got some sort of a license to do this. I don't know. Rashi doesn't spell that out for us. But from the perspective of Rabbi Yudah Marav, it sounds like Avraham Avinu was paskening halacha here, that if I weigh these two mitzvahs on the scale, and I have to decide which gets kedima, it's Hafnasas Orchim versus Kabbalas Pnei Shechina, you know, it's man versus God, you know, you would think at this point God should take precedence, especially if you apply the principle of Osek B'mitzvah Potter B'mitzvah. You know, Avraham Avinu was already involved in Kabbalas Pnei Shechina. Hashem came to visit him on the third day of the Milah. Now's not the time to drop that mitzvah, that great mitzvah of Kabbalas Pnei Shechina. So the Gaon Mivilna, and then we'll see Rav Nosson Adler in numbers 4 and 5 tackle this problem. And I'm telling you, Rabosai, when I read this, I have such a spilus. I can't believe the brilliance of the Jewish cup, as we say, the Yiddish cup. First with the Gaon. I mean, the Gaon is called the Gaon, so it's not a Chiddush if I tell you he was a genius. But this piece is mamish brilliant. He says the following. Take a look at line 5. V'hikshu ha'mafarchin minolan shegdola. How do we know which of these two is greater? For example, Rabbi Yehuda Marav says that Hachnasas Archim is greater than Kabbalas Pnei Shechina. So you and I would have answered the Gaon's question, and we would have said from Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu went ahead and he received the Archim, postponing the mitzvah of Kabbalas Pnei Shechina, even though he's already involved in that mitzvah. Apparently, Hachnasas Archim is even greater than Kabbalas Pnei Shechina. But wait till you see what the Gaon has to say. Yesh Levayer, the Yodua, Shaniftar Mirabo, Al Yipote Vachorov Klapei Rabo, which means that when you leave the presence of your Rebbe, you have to walk backwards. You can't turn around and put your back to your to Rebbe's face. That's not respectful. Elaponov Klapei Rabo, the whole time he's looking at his Rebbe. Vaholech Meachorov, as he's walking backwards. And Chazal interpret this and derive this from a pasuk of Vayifen Vayetze Me'im Paro, when Moshe Rabbeinu leaves the presence of Paro. Lachem, how does that principle bear any relevance to our situation of Avraham and the Archim? Kan Hamalachim Kishachazru Me'Avraham, after the Malachim left Avraham, they departed. Holchu Achoranis, they must have walked backwards. Lios Pneem Keneged Ashchina. In other words, even if you'll question whether or not Avraham Avinu had the status of a Rebbe and the Malachim his Talmidim, but nevertheless, Muchach, it has to be that the Malachim would walk backwards because the Shechina had visited Avraham Avinu. Vehine, Avraham Avinu kasher ra'asa orchim holach lekabel pneim. Avraham Avinu made the decision that he's going to go out and receive the guests who bikesh meis Hashem yisbach shiyamtin ad shikabel pnei orchim. Vehine, kasher ovar meis pnei Hashem hoylo lelech Uponov Klapei Ashchina. Just like the Archim, when they departed, they went backwards. Avraham Avinu, likewise, should have been walking backwards. In other words, he shouldn't be running forwards, because if he runs forwards, then his back is towards the Shechina. Ach ein derech eretz lekavol pnei orchim b'zeh ha'ofen. Avram Avinu is in a bind. If he goes out front forward and runs towards the Archim, that's a covet for the Archim. If, on the other hand, he, by running forward, he has his back towards the Shechina, that's not covet for the Shechina. So he's in a bind. Because if he walks backwards from the Shechina, then his back is towards the Archim. That's not a derech covet for the Archim. Lachem, in this choice, in this decision, Hasiv Panov Klapea Archim, he decided to face the Archim, Lekablam Besever Panim Yafos. Kamod Dixiv, that's a Poshim Shad, Vayar, Vayoretz Lekrosam. He runs towards them. Why did the Torah add the word Lekrosam? The answer is Lekrosam, Keneged Pneam. The Torah wants to emphasize that his face was directed towards the Archim, Varatz Kedak, and he ran towards them the normal way. Ki Ef Shar Loretz Achoranis, you know, to say that Vayoratz, he ran backwards, I mean, that's a pretty dangerous thing to do. But now, as a result of the fact that he runs forward towards the Archim, Hasiv Panav Keneged Pnei Ashchina, that's exactly what Rabbi Yehuda Marav derives from Avram Avinu. Not the way we said it. The fact that Avram Avinu chose to postpone the mitzvah of Shechina for the sake of Achnasas Orachim, and he gave Kedima to Achnasas Orachim. Maybe that doesn't prove a thing. But rather from the fact that he turned his back towards the Shechina in order to be Makabal Pnei Orachim. Why didn't he turn his back towards the Orachim? He would have had to walk a little bit slower, so that his face would be Klapei Ashchina. And the answer is Ratzalomar Gedol Achnasas Orachim Yoser Melios Makabel Panov Keneged Ashchina. The Gon is adding one word, just one word, to Rabbi Yehuda Marav's statement. Not that he's changing the text, but he's clarifying Rabbi Yehuda Marav. How did Rabbi Yehuda Marav know that Achnasas Orachim is even greater than Kabbalas Pnei Shechina, because it's Keneged Pnei Ashchina, Makabel Panov Keneged Pnei Ashchina. Notice he was Makabel the Orachim Keneged Pnei Ashchina, which means that his back was towards the Shechina. Now, Rabosai, I would have learned this parasha for the next million years, and I never in my mind would have figured this one out. But he's saying that the Shechina was there, and Avraham Avinu was in this bind. Joe?
I'm sorry, I don't mean... It could be different in this situation than the questions which you're asking. The Shechina was there beforehand. The Shechina stuck around till afterwards. Is there a difference in a situation in which you have the Shechina is with you on a continuous basis, and then there's Orchim coming in the middle? I mean, how do you understand these things? How does a person deal with living in a house with his father or something like that? You know, there's certain liberties you have to take in order to do other things. It's not the question is who's coming, the Shechina or that. It seems like it's not necessarily they're equal. The Shechina, he's already the couple is a Shechina, and he's going to be talking to Hashem afterwards as well.
Back away from the Shechina.
I understand.
I'll ask the question a little differently. Who says the Shechina was a presence in front of him? Shechina is a presence. Shechina is not like I'm in front of you, like a person. You're anthropomorphizing it to such an extent that like who says that's what it was? He had some kind of an aura or sense of the Shechina, but to say the Shechina was in front of him and he had to back away from the Shechina, who says?
So wait, let me try to just address for a minute Joe's question and then Bobby's question. In terms of your question, Joe, again, I'm not 100% sure I understood you, but let's see if my answer would satisfy you. Kabbalas Pnei Shechina, in this particular context, means an encounter with the Shekhinah. It doesn't just mean that the Shekhinah is there. The Shekhinah came to communicate. There was a dialogue between Hashem and the Shekhinah. It's Kabbalah's Pnei Shekhinah, not for 1 second. Just say, oh Hashem, you're here, I greet you, come in, take a seat. But there was a constant involvement, almost like a communication, a dialogue going on between Avram and the Shekhinah. Avram cuts that dialogue in half in order to go out and be Mekabel Orchim. So you and I would have said that that's enough to justify Rabbi Yehuda Merav's conclusion that Achnasas Orchim is greater than Kabbalah's Pnei Shekhinah, to interrupt the involvement and the encounter and the dialogue with the Shekhinah for the sake of Achnasas Orchim. That itself establishes the superior status of Achnasas Orchim. The Gaon, on the other hand, wants to suggest that if it was only Avram's decision to postpone this mitzvah and interrupt this mitzvah of Kabbalah's Pnei Shekhinah, that itself might not be enough to prove that Orchim is greater than Shekhinah. Why? Because you might have all sorts of technical reasons why he had to go be Mekabel Pnei Shekhinah, Mekabel Orchim. Later on we're going to see the Netziv, for example. I'll give you one example. The Netziv is going to say, well, technically, he had to move very fast. It was a mitzvah overis. And this maybe was a mitzvah that wasn't overis. He could continue with the dialogue later and so forth and so on. But to say that inherently, Hachnasas Orchim is greater than Kabbalah's Pnei Shekhinah, I don't know that that's the case. Avraham Avinu doesn't prove that, because Avraham Avinu has to make a decision whether to give up on that mitzvah for the sake of this mitzvah. And there are technical rules that govern what we call Dine Kedima. Comes along the Gaon and he says the following: that kavod is really at stake here. And there's a head-on collision between the kavod for the Orchim and the kavod for the Shekhinah. And it's the Efshel L'Kayim Shneim. It's not like you could postpone one and pick it up a little bit later on down the line. Because the very kavod here requires Keneged Panav and Keneged Achorav. In the Gaon's structure of it, the way he understands it, and now we'll get on a little bit to Bobby's question. When you leave the Shekhinah, wherever the Shekhinah and the aura of the Shekhinah is Shochem, like for example the Ramban says that the Shekhinah was Shore in the Ohel of the Avos. How do you walk out of the Ohel? So according to the Gaon, you'd have to walk out backwards from the Ohel. If you walk out backwards from the Ohel, then you're not Achorav Klapi HaShekhinah. Why does the Pasuk emphasize, in the case of Avram, Vayar Vayaratz L'Krasav? So again, first of all, we're going to see Zrizus, right, in Vayaratz. But L'Krasav, in the deeper meaning, and the very powerful message that's inherent in secret meaning in L'Krasav, is that he ran towards them. That's the Gaon's pshat. It means that he ran out of the Ohel, face front, looking at the Orchim. Or maybe he was sitting in front of the Ohel, and he ran towards the Orchim. The Shekhinah's in the Ohel, and now the back of Avram Avinu is towards the Shekhinah. That means that there was no way that he could fulfill both Achnasas Orchim and Kabbalah's Pnei Shekhinah. They're both mitzvahs of Kavod, and the question is which trumps which. I hate to use that word in these days, but okay.
From Burzok,
I'm not going to get to number 30, Bobby. Yeah, go ahead.
I was starting to write a question rather than ask it now because I didn't want to interrupt. But which of Taryag mitzvahs is Kabbalah's Pnei Shekhinah?
It's Avas Hashem. V'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha.
Okay.
There might be a kiyum of Yiras Hashem as well, especially the way the Gaon formulates. But Rabbosai, ball game is not over yet. take a look at Rav Nosson Adler, the Rebbe of the Chasam Sofer. Again, the Yiddish Cup is working overtime here. Umakshim on the second line. May Ayin Yoda Zos Avram Avinu. You know, the Gaon was facing the question, how do we know, how does Rabbi Yehuda know that Hachnosis Orchim takes priority? But how did Avram know it? That's not the Gaon's question. Vindira. And now he comes up with an unbelievable principle, which is based on Chazal in interpreting the Akedah. Chazal were bothered by a pasuk in the Akedah. It says, "Vayishalach Avram es yado," that when Avram picks up the knife, he sends out his hand. Very strange pasuk. So Chazal say that Avram Avinu had to put extra energy and control in his arm. Now you and I would have said that he had a natural slida, I don't know how you say that in English, he had a natural repulsion from slaughtering his son, so he had to battle with his arm and get his arm to agree to perform properly. But that's not how Rav Nosson Adler sees it. He sees it in a different way. He says that the organs of Avram's body, if you could use the word, were programmed, pardon the use of that word, almost like robotically, to fulfill the will of God. In other words, at some point when a person is dedicated to serve Hashem, his body is schlepped along, and time after time he does what he has to do, and his body becomes programmed. Here in the Akedah, Pilei Ploim, Avram is coming to fulfill the will of God, and guess what? His arm refuses to cooperate. So Chazal say, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu never really wanted to shecht Yitzchak. Haleu Sham Li'ola. He never said to him, Shechteu. If the will of God was not there, then the body of Avram doesn't perform cooperatively. The body now resists. Again, I have a whole bunch of questions to ask on this, but before we ask our questions, let's just at least appreciate Rav Nosson Adler. Says Rav Nosson Adler, the pasuk says, "Vayar vayoratz lekrosam." What is the Torah trying to emphasize here? Again, alacrity, but also vayar. Avram saw. What happened after he saw the Arkin? He didn't have to activate his legs. His legs on their own started running after the Aruch. Why? Because that's the Ratzon Hashem. And the legs of Avram, like the rest of the limbs of his body, are programmed to fulfill the Ratzon Hashem. Avram Avinu didn't need any proof that this is the right thing to do, that the decision was to give precedence to Kabbalas Orchim over Kabbalas Pnei Shechina. Vayar vayoratz lekrosam, the legs carried him, is hence Gidol Achnosas Orchim Yoser mi Kabbalas Pnei Shechina. Rabbos, I get very emotional about this because, again, you could always ask a couple of questions. I have a few questions myself to ask, but the sheer brilliance, the creativity of the Jewish mind is like, I get overwhelmed by it. My question is that if we accept the thesis of Rav Nosson Adler, why did Avraham Avinu insist on going through the Akedah? I mean, didn't the message come through to Avraham Avinu that maybe he misinterpreted the original tzivui, the mandate from Hashem? Again, you might come up with answers to that question. I'm not saying the ball game is over here, but just on a technical level, there seems to be a little bit of a contradiction within the presentation of Rav Nosson Adler, because If he's assuming that how did Avraham Avinu know what to do in life, he let his body go forward and make the decision on his behalf, then having met up and countered with the resistance of his arm in the Akedah, shouldn't he have understood, Ad Khan, maybe I have to stop over here? It was only when the Malach told him, Al Tishlach Yodcha Lanar, Yesh L'Yashe. And now we move on to the Yalkut Shimoni. Says the Yalkut Shimoni, it says Vayar twice in this parasha. First it says Vayar he saw the Shlosh HaNosh, and then it says Vayar Vayorot Likrosa. So the Yalkut in Medrash says the following. Omar Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this parasha is the first parasha after the parasha of Milah. Ad Shelo Malta, before you did the Milah, Hayu, who were the visitors that came to see you? Bnei Adam, Arelim, Boim Etzlecha. These were Arelim. Achshav, after the Milah, your entire essence has changed. Who's going to come visit you? Ani v'falmalia shali niglim l'cha. Hado d'chsiv v'yisa eina v'yar v'inei shlosha anoshim. This is the falmalia. And v'yar, a second v'yar, is v'yar b'shchina. Says the Yalkut, there are two v'yars, trei zimnin, v'yar b'shchina and v'yar of the Molochim. And I think, Rav Osai, this adds a whole new dimension to the parsha that we're studying. Avraham Avinu is dedicated to the mitzvah at this moment in time of Kabbalah's Pnei Shechina. And all of a sudden, he terminates that mitzvah for the sake of Kabbalah's Oroch. How could he do such a thing? This is a third question. This is neither the Gaon's question nor of Nosson Adler's question. The question is, in the existential experience of Avram, as we say in Yiddish, wie kann das sein? How could it be possible? And the answer lies in the parsha of Mil. Tomim tiyem Hashem Elokecha. Avraham Avinu, Heye Tomim, becomes a different individual, a different species of man through the Milah. This transformation projects Avraham Avinu to a godlike status. He is now somewhere between man and God. As the Torah says about Moshe Rabbeinu, Ish Elokim, he's an Ish, but he's also an Ish Elokim. Avraham Avinu becomes an Ish Elokim. And the proof of it is, look who comes to visit him. When he goes out to accept the Orchim, he's doing so because these Orchim are the Famalia Shalmala. These are the Shluchim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu who are coming to be part of the company of Avraham Avinu. The divine beings up in the celestial highs want to come to be with Avraham Avinu. Hashem and his Pamalia. In effect, bringing the Pamalia into the OL is to have a three-way meeting, a three-way dialogue. Today you can do this over all sorts of technology, conference calls. The conference call now has three members to it. There's Avraham Avinu, the host, and there are two member group guests. One is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the other is his Famalia. Avraham is now fulfilling two mitzvahs at one time. He's being Mekabel Pnei Shechina, and he's being Mekabel Pnei Pamalia Shel Shechina. And why? Why are they all so eager to come into his tent? Because he has a certain superior status that even if I could say these words, the divine being doesn't even have this status. To be man, to be human, to be mortal and flesh and blood, and yet to be divine, Hashem says, I want to come down and be in your presence. And the Pamal Yishol Mala coming along, because they're standing this spoiled. They can't believe how a human being, flesh and blood, could reach this level. And Rabosa, I would take this Yalkut Shimoni and I would attach it to the famous sugya, the Agadah on Peches and Shabbos of Matan Torah, that the Malachim first claim that the Torah belongs upstairs, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says no. You should be giving respect to Avram Avinu. That's what Hashem says to the Malachim. Klum lo achalta, the Gemara says, didn't you eat from his meal? You came down to visit him because he's even greater than you are. You owe him kavod. The Netziv, on the other hand, doesn't understand it that way. In number 7, he says Avram Avinu was shakua. He was totally involved at that moment in the mitzvah of Avas Hashem, of Kabbalah's Pnei Shechina. Umilvachu tainug nifla. On the one hand, this is a great spiritual pleasure that's indescribable, that's qualitatively different than any other pleasure that we know of, on top of the fact that it's a great mitzvah saseh of Yahavtas Hashem. Therefore, the Amik Dover asks, how is it possible that Avraham Avinu could forego, number one, that great tainug, and number two, the greatest mitzvah of all, the Yahavtas Hashem Elokecha, for the sake of Hachnosis Orch? And as we'll soon see, this is going to push the Netziv, pushes back, so to speak, into a corner in which he has to apply the mechanical, technical rules that govern Kedima, a mitzvah veris versus a mitzvah she'eno veris. And Avraham Avinu says the Netziv is going to check out and see if who these guests, these potential guests are. Can he send Yishmael? Or does he have to go before the Va'atzmo? And if he doesn't go, what's going to happen? They're going to leave. They're not going to linger on. They're passing by. But the Shechina is a mitzvah that he can fulfill down the line. So that the Netziv on the one hand and the Yalkut Shimoni on the other hand are two opposite ends of the spectrum. Whereas the Netziv sees here an either-or situation, a conflict which forces Avram to make a decision about Kedima, the Yalkut understands that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, by showing up, was sending Avram Avinu a very clear message. Now I'm here with you. Now, in the next stage, I'm going to send my Famalia to be with you, and we're going to all sit together and have a cup of tea in the oil of Avram Avinu, the oil of Sari Avinu, not just tea, but also hopefully chocolate chip cookies. And that's not a conflict at all. That's the Yalkut Shimon. Let's take a look at Rav Elio Dessler. He adds another element into the equation. He says, Dovra Matmiya. Look at the third line. He says, V'chi al koponim nirech has v'sholom kechil Hashem. Isn't there an element here of chil Hashem? You know, if you add the gon here, you know, he's walking backwards. That would not be a chil Hashem, but if he's walking forwards and his back is towards Hashem, laniach HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let Hashem wait, lechakot kaviyochol piemtza ashos hashchina. So once again, the Michtab Elio, like the Yalkut and Amik Dovar, is working with the premise that we have to answer the question, how is it possible, how is it thinkable that Avraham Avinu would do such a thing? How could the Allah itself allow you to do such a thing? And it's unbelievable. The Michtab Elio activates the principle of Eis Lasos Lashem Heferu Sorasecha. Rebbe commits Torah Shebaal Peh to writing because of an Eis Lasos Lashem. Or, as the Gemara says at the beginning of Megillah, Yonasan ben Uziel committed the Targum of Nevi'im to writing Eis Lasos Lashem. V'chein, there's certain things that really are not permissible during tefillah. You and I have seen people who shuckle And, you know, it gets a little bit out of hand. Again, I'm a bit prejudiced here because I had a very unfortunate experience when the guy next to me knocked me down. I mean, at the end, I caught myself just before I fell to the floor. Another day, the guy on my other side hit me with his tzitzis when he put on his towel. So I have certain, you know, prejudice here with regard to this kind of thing. But anyway, most people, and certainly most yeshiva bachurim, shuckle a lot during davening. He says that's not the proper posture for davening. And to start singing in the middle of davening, again, if you're a kalbach, then for sure it's okay. But if you're the Mikta Melio, you know, you're a British man, then that's not appropriate. But the answer is Kedei La'orer HaKavon. We're going to allow a lot of things to go on for the sake of Kavon. And you should know, I was very happy when I learned this because I have this issue every Yomim Noroyim in my little community, my humble community here in the Amic Learning Center, because everyone loves to sing. And I come from a school of thought where Yomim Noroyim is not the time for singing. And it becomes even more complicated because when they sing, you can't hear the shots. So I beg the shots to repeat the words after the kal finishes singing. It works for about a minute or two, you know, to get some two verses, but after that, forget it. But Eis Lasos Hashem Eferu Sarasech Kedei La'orer HaKavon. And it's literally Kedei La'orer HaKavon, and we start so early in the morning that half the Olam is asleep. But then they start singing. Ulach Ora Kisha'anu Mashvim Omdeinu B'Tfila Lu'umas Omdeinu Lifnei Melech Basav Adam. Are you going to stand in front of a king, a human king, and start shuckling, and start singing, and start tiptoeing through the tulips in front of the king? Ein chil Hashem b'davar? Is that not chil Hashem? But eis asos Hashem. What the Michtam Eliyahu doesn't give us, which is, I think, the punchline, why is this Eis Lasos Lashem Eferu Sarasecha? Meaning, you've got to have a matir, so something that really compels you and pushes you to do things that would normally be considered a Chil Hashem. What exactly compels Avraham Avinu to be Michal Hashem and to be Mefer Torasecha? And the answer could only be Achnasas Orach. But then we come back to square one. Why is Achnasas Orach such a pressing mitzvah? And for that, we have to understand the Maral Miprag. Now, this Maral Miprag, which is number 9, is very abstract, as the Maral always is abstract, in the Tiferes Yisrael especially. And he says the following. Oh, this is in his Chidush HaGadol. I'm getting confused with the Maral that I studied this morning in the Tiferes Yisrael. Anyway. Says the Maral, interpreting Rav Dimi that we saw earlier, that Gidolach Nosses Orchim Yoser Miashkomes Beis HaMidrash, or Rav Yehuda Marav Gidolach Nosses Orchim Yoser Mikabolos Pnei Shechina, he says the following. I'm going to say it in my words and then we'll try to see if I can read this into the text of the Marav. What is Hachnosses Orchim? Is it kavod? Obviously, to respect the Orachim, try to do the best job that you can. Avraham Avinu goes really overboard with a king's welcome. Well, in truth, that's not Achnosis Orachim. Anything I do for you, if you're my good buddy, if we're friends, how much more so if we're close relatives, anything I do for you is to give you kavod. And for sure, that's what Mitzvahs Bein Adam L'Chavero is all about. How does Hachnosas Orachim step out of the general category of Kavod L'Adam, Kavod L'Brios of Bein Adam L'Chavero, and how does it single itself out as being Gedol, as being so great, as described in the Gemara and Shabbos? And The Maral gives a very strange answer, very ambiguous. And this you'll see on page 2. Says the Maral, and take a look at the last line in the major paragraph here, and then we'll see it again and again in the next paragraph. He says, Aval einam panim chadashos. He says the following. You know what? Let's start with the word vida. It's 5 lines up before the end of that first paragraph on page 2. Do you see the word vida lecha? Oh. He says, Dafka lachnis orchim ka'omar. When the Gemara tells us that achnasas orchim is so great, we're not talking about chivoli adam, kovidli adam. We're not talking about benom lechavero. We're specifically honing in on achnasas orchim. Why? What's unique about achnasas orchim? And now we're going to learn Hilchas Sheva Brachos. I'm just being facetious here. Panim chadoshes bo'ol lekayim. You know, like, I feel like the golem here, not like the maral. You know what I'm saying? Like, what do you mean, panim chadoshes bo'ol lekayim? Who introduced panim chadoshes here? Are we learning Hilchas Sheva Brachos? But he says, with regard to any kavod you give to your friends, to your family members, to yedidim, ain't on panim chadoshes. That's not achnasas orchim. V'lo ka'amar. And that already doesn't reach the level of gedola mi kabos pnei shechina mi beis hamedrash. Says the Maral, because of this unique dimension of achnasas orchim, which is called panim chadoshes bo lekan, therefore this kavod for the orchim takes on a whole new dimension. It's not your classical Bein Adam L'Chaveru. It's singled out. And if you take a look in the top line on page 2, he says with regard to Achnasas Orchim, Ze Atzmo, Kavod Elokim. This is not Kavod in the classical Bein Adam L'Chaveru meaning, but rather this is Kavod Elokim. Lahachnis ha'adam lebeiso lechabidoso, and what is it? It's because man is a dmus and a tselem. Man is a physical manifestation of divinity, and the kavod here is the kavod for the shechina itself. Why? Because achnasas orchim is kabbalas pnei shechina. Why does this guy who's coming knocking on your door, that you bring home to your wife, why does he deserve kavod? Do you know the guy? Do you ever meet him? Is he a business associate? You know, we're coming close to that period of time, I call it Hanukkah time, but you know what I mean, where you have the whole issue of sending gifts, you know, to business associates. I don't know if anyone here in the audience ever had that experience, you know, the issue of on their holidays, you know, sending them good wishes for the holiday season. How does it work in Canada? I don't remember. In America, they started, I think, at the end of October already. It's already holiday season. Is that the same in Canada? This year, they're going to be celebrating, they're going to be spelling their holiday with special cookies, you know. You know what I'm talking about. You know, because Canada was marked here, you know, it was marked here everything, you know. So, I hopefully Purim is not going to change. Although honestly, you know, I was once in the Bayit on Shabbos. They have a Kiddush club there that even supersedes Clanton Park. I don't know if you've ever been there. And I was wondering, like, what's the difference between that and marijuana? You know what I'm saying? So now that we're okay. Anyway, so. Alright, let's get serious here. The Maral is saying something that's unbelievably, and has an unbelievable impact on our whole understanding of what Achnasas Orchim is. You know, we always thought that, you know, the issue here at stake between Achnasas Orchim and Kabbalas Pnei Shechina, or entering into a Beis Medrash, that's all about Bein Adam LaMakom, Bein Adam LaChavero. The Maral is unwilling to accept that. You know, if you're doing a favor for your friend, it'll have to wait, because right now you're being makabel pnei shechina. And if you have to go to davening, you're going to go to davening, and your friend will have to wait. But that's covered la'adam, because you know him, and he's not panim chadoshos. He's a person that you feel for, and you have natural connection, affinity with him, and you respect him. But now, achnosas orchem, which is panim chadoshos, is a different kind of kavod. It's a kavod because chaviv adam shenivra b'tzelem, as the Mishnah says in Avos. And he says the following, that if you don't have this element of panim chadoshos, then you may have a natural affinity to do and extend for your friend because you can connect with him. And the Shekhinah is metaphysical, it's eternal, it's infinite, and you cannot connect to the Shekhinah. But when you introduce a new element in the equation, in the case of Hachnosis Orch, and we're not dealing with Ava, that I can have a chibur with a person because I know him, he's my relative, he's my friend. I don't recognize him, he's panim chadoshos. My whole respect here is not something that's projected or emanating from Ava, because if it was Ava, I could be mischaber with him, and that's natural. But rather, I'm connecting with his Shechina Shebo, with his Tzelem Elokim Shebo. And now, once I go ahead and I make the plunge and I lunge out and I reach out and I accept this Orchim, at this point, a Chibur is created. And now my connection to the Tzelem Elokim is a very real connection. It's a tangible connection. Says the Maral Miprag, now I understand why Achnasas Orchim is even greater than Kabbalas Pnei Shekhinah. And this you'll see in the last four lines of this, of the second paragraph, the last paragraph in this Maral. V'yoser mi Kabbalas Pnei Shekhinah. Why is the respect that I have for the Tzelem Elokim of this Panim Chadoshes and Achnasas Orchim greater? Why does it supersede Kabbalas Shekhinah? The answer is because it has another element, another achievement, an additional strengthening of the Kiyum HaMitzvah, because Ein Chibra LaShekhinah, with regard to this Panim Chadoshos of Lachnosis Orchim, even though I had no connection to this person, no Chibur, because he was Panim Chadosh, I don't know him from Adam, but now, through or simultaneous with the Kabbalah Sa'orchim, I now create a Chibur, and that's very real and very tangible, that upgrades my level of connection to the Tzelem Elokim way beyond that of Kabbalah Shekhinah. Kabbalah Shekhinah always remains abstract, or more, you know, it's some sort of a spiritual connection that I really can't call it tangible. And now we get to the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim, like the Netziv, and they were more or less contemporaries. The Netziv may have been a little bit before the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim died, I think, in 1930. Check me out on this. I'm not good at history.
33.
Whereas the Netziv, if you could check that out for me, I think died mamish at the turn of the century, like in 1910 or something like that. Can you check that out? You know, I call it Dr. Google, you know. And they both really take this parasha with the same approach, from the same approach. Says the Chofetz Chaim at the end of number 10, that in his damein lefanav mitzvah, kishu osek b'talmud Torah, what does a person do when he's learning Torah, and he has now an opportunity that knocks on his door to do a mitzvah? So the halacha is that let the mitzvah be done by someone else. If you cannot allow someone else to do the mitzvah, you have to do it yourself, then mevatlin Talmud Torah. The mitzvah takes precedence over Talmud Torah. Therefore, if a person is mashkim leleich lebeis hamedrash v'nizdamin lo orchim, then he should pick up the mitzvah of orchim. Why? Because there's no one around to be makabel the pnei orchim. But Hani Mili says that only applies she'ein lo bebeiso mishi kablam kahogen. And then he adds another comment in brackets here, which really touches on our parasha, because Chazal say that Avram Avinu Vayar, the second Vayar, he checked out these Orchim and he saw that they were Mechubadim and that no one else, not Yishmael, and no one else could go out and do the job. Is therefore, we have a case of Mevatlin Talmud Torah LeMitzvah SheEfshar LeKaima Al Yedei Achirim. So the Chofetz Chaim, like the Netziv, is going to analyze Avram's predicament, his conflict, from the same halakhic rulings that apply in general when you have a mitzvah and you're involved in Talmud Torah. But now, we get to the schar. Let me just see what time it is. Alright. So if you take a look at the Gemara Bava Metzia, the Gemara Bava Metzia on Daf Pei Vav Amid Beis, number 13 on your page, goes through a tremendous detail, piece by piece, to analyze the various dimensions of Avram's Hachnosis Orchim and the schar, the reward that was given throughout the history of Klal Yisrael for Avram Avinu's great chesed. So, for example, Rabbi Yehuda Marav says, again, it's very interesting, it's the same trail as we saw before, but here it's a different masechta of Rabbi Yehuda, the name of Rav, that Avram Avinu's chesed at the beginning of Parshas Vayera falls into two different categories. Is that what she does personally, and that's what she does al yedei shliach. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises that he will reward the descendants of Avram in two different ways. In a parallel to what Avram did by himself, Hashem will do directly, and paralleling what Avram did through a shliach, Hashem will accomplish through a shliach. So, for example, it says that on the third line, El Abaka Rots Avram. So Avram personally runs to the Bakar. And Varuach Nasoa Meis Hashem. So it's directly from Hashem. Vayika Chema V'cholav. Again, it's Avram directly. Hineni Mamti Olachem Lechem in Hashemayim. Hashem brings down directly, without any agency, brings down the man from Shemaim. Who omed aleihem tachaseit? Avram is personally standing over them. Hineni omed lefanecha shama latzur. But then, when it gets to yukach nomat mayim, which means to a shliach, then vikisa batzur, then the tzur, the stone, has to become the shliach of Hashem to bring out the water for Bnei Yisrael. The Medrash Rabbah, which parallels the Sugya and Bava Metzia, has one fundamental difference in terms of the relationship between the Chesed and the Schar for the Chesed. Two fundamental differences. Difference number one, which is a little subtle, is that even what Avram does through a Shliach, God meets out the reward directly, personally, and not through a Shliach. For example, Ato Amarta Yukach Nomi At Mayim, and nevertheless Hashem personally splits the Yamsuf. Now, the second major advance, if you will, or change in the Medrash Rabbah over the Gemara Bava Metzia, is that the reward of Hashem promised for corresponding to Avram's Chesed is a three pronged reward. It's Bamidbar, Bayishuv, Uliyasid Lov. And with every dimension, every detail of Avram's Chesed, there's going to be a threefold reward for the generations of Avram. One in the Midbar, the 40 years in the Midbar, two in the Yishuv when they settle in Eretz Yisrael, and three, Liyasid Lovo, at the time of the ultimate Geula. If we had more time, I'd love to go through the entire Medrash with you, line by line. It's absolutely stunning. But since we don't have time, I want to leave you with one line that I don't understand, and please help me understand it. If you look on the left column in the Medrash Rabbah, you'll see that the top of the Medrash Rabbah is like a thin vertical line, but it starts getting wide. And he's talking now about Tachas Ha'etz, Hishanu Tachas Ha'etz. And he says, Chayecha, that I will reward your descendants first in the Midbar. That I understand very well. And in the Midbar, it says, Parash Anon Lamasach. So the Anani HaKavod will hover over the Jewish people in the Midbar and protect them for 40 years. And that's Keneged, the Tachas Ha'etz of Chesed Shahishanu Tachas Ha'etz. Liyasid Lavo, I'm skipping the line that totally baffles my mind, to the third level of Liyasid Lavo. And there Yeshayo HaNavi says, we read this in Haftorah, the Sukkatiel Itzel Yomam Mechorev. God will protect the Jewish people despite the heat, the beating heat of the sun. But look at the middle one. This is referring to Yishuv, which means in Eretz Yisrael. And he quotes the pasuk, Basukos Teshu Shivas Yamin. What does that have to do with this? Unfortunately, I don't have access to any of the Mefarshim, but maybe you fellows can help me here. Because, first of all, this is not a reward. This is a mitzvah. And second of all, it's not limited to Eretz Yisrael. The mitzvah of Sukkos applies, as far as I know, even in Toronto, Canada. Again, it's not so easy to fulfill that mitzvah in that part of the world. So I don't know, what does he mean by Besukkos Teishvu Shivas Yamin? What does that mean? Does anybody have any access to the Mefarshim? Yudi, you have one of those big Bamidbar Rabbis with all the Mefarshim, you know, the tall ones?
Not here.
Right, all right.
Upstairs.
So if you get a chance, Yudi, write me a little note, because I'm now in Rabbi Meir. I have almost no access to Svarim. And this is a pellet to me. Besukkos Teishvu Shivas Yamin, Vas Hatzitan. But to wrap it up for today, Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel, in the Orat Sofon, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he was the Mashkiach in the Slabodka Yeshiva, otherwise known as the Alta. I mistakenly identified him with one of his relatives, who was the Rashiv in the Mir, who passed away not long ago. But in any event, there's something absolutely poetic and beautiful about this presentation, especially the paragraph that starts with the word Leoneg, which is the fourth paragraph. He starts by saying that the schar for the chesed of Avram is paid out to Klal Yisrael, Zachu Kol Yisrael. And you would say that once Bnei Yisrael entered into the Midbar following the exodus from Mitzrayim, at that point they had exhausted all their zchuyot. I mean, look at the great miracles that took place in Mitzrayim. So now they go into a harsh desert. They're suffering from famine and lack of water. What zchus do they have? Here's where we go into our little bank account and we pull out a zchus of the chesed of Avram. And now they're going to be zochet to all the skulos, everything they need to get through the 40 years in the Midbar and all those harsh conditions. And he gives a few examples. He says, look how the reward is so great, it doesn't even seem to be commensurate to the action. Hashem says, Ve'chop haslechem. And because of that, 40 years in the Midbar, the Jewish people are going to be supplied with man min hashamayim to keep them going. Lechem abirim. So the Mashkiach says, Behispalus, Bishvil pas lechem, lemaloche ashores, Zachu kol Yisrael, Shishim ribui. For 40 years, Shishim ribui are going to be zochet to lechem. It's like, it's not commensurate. You follow me? It's not me that can get me though. He gives another example. It says that Avram Avinu in the Yalka gave the Malachim a Kiton Shalmayim in order to wash their hands. And therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu, says the Medrash, grants Yisrael, the Be'era Shel Miriam, for 40 years. There's no water in the desert. 40 years, 600,000 strong. And on and on and on. And the answer to this puzzle of measure for measure lies in this beautiful poetry in the paragraph that starts Li'oneg. And I want to read it together with you. Li'oneg malachim ukvod malachim zachu ba'aretz. I'm sorry, Zachu Be'eretz Midbar Asher Besou Yilel Yeshimon. The kind of pleasure and enjoyment that we, our forefathers, in 40 years in the Midbar enjoy, that oneg of the man, the covet of Malachim, we are treated as kings. The water is there, the Anania covet is there, all our needs are taken care of, our lechem comes down from Shamayim. This is covered malach. And why? Why are we treated like kings? Why do we zocha to onig malach? To angel-like pleasure. Bishvil ha-chesed sha'asa in malachi ha-shores, because of the chesed Hashem did, that Avram Avinu did with the malachi ha-shores. Here's the punchline, Rabosa. Mipnei she-chesed Avram Hoya betachlis hashlemus me'ein chesed HaKadosh Baruch. The chesed of Avram is the ideal perfect shlemus of chesed that can only be compared to the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch. Let's look at the chesed of HaKadosh Baruch. It's endless. It's infinite. We don't deserve it. He says the following. Avraham Avinu Yoshev Mitzapo L'Chesed. Isn't this a divine attribute? He's sitting out in front of his Ohel, looking, anticipating, possibly, an opportunity for Chesed. Hashem creates the world in order to bestow Chesed. Heichinus HaChesed. When it came time for Chesed, he goes through every wonderful preparation. He makes sure that they'll be fed. That they'll be fed with the best meat, with milk and honey and cheese, with water that they need to wash their feet. Everything is heichinus HaChesed. As HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates the universe, creates the world, and everything is hachan of chesed, all the beautiful entities that God provides us with in this world. Kodem Shaya Mishaya Zakuk LaChesed. Avraham Avinu is waiting to just go into motion. You know, he's like the race dog that's waiting for them to shoot the thing and open the corral, and he's going to go running out. Avraham Avinu has got everything in his treasury waiting to do chesed, and yet there's no one there to do chesed for. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is preparing the entire world for man, even though there is no man. And it's chesed, mitoch chachma, there's brilliance, there's thought, there's yira, there's humbleness, humility. Mitoch omek hakaroso, v'godel hasagoso, v'chesed Hashem yisparach, hamemale es kol abriya. Avram becomes the paradigm of imitating Hashem, just like Hashem knows no limit to his chesed. The entire Bria is filled endlessly with God's chesed. God creates the world in order to give that chesed and bestow that chesed. Lehetiv lebrios. Avraham Avinu becomes the disciple of Hashem, to imitate Hashem. And therefore, the chesed of Avraham Avinu is a divine chesed. And when it comes to divine shlemus of chesed, there's no limit to that chesed and to the reward that's going to be bestowed upon the descendants of Avram.
Avinu was mezakas to a certain element in that goes as big as a mitzvah sukkah, not just the symbolic thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, protected us with, the anan and so on. What happened in the Midbar, but that he reached a level where he could bring down a mitzvah of sukkah for us as well.
a mitzvah l'doros. But is that mitzvah? Why is that mitzvah indicative of Eretz Yisrael? That's how I don't feel. You know, in every single case, we didn't get a chance to go through the Medrash. He shows you that there was reward A that was dedicated to the people of Israel in the Midbar, reward B dedicated to people when they lived and dwelled in the land, and reward C that was dedicated to the people after the redemption at the time of Mashiach. And when he gets to the example of Eretz Yisrael, he quotes Pasukas Teishu Shivas Yomim. I don't think that that's a mitzvah that's related to Eretz Yisrael. I don't think. You know.
Right.
So give it some thought if you can, all right? In the last paragraph in this Orat Sofun, Rav Nosson Tzvi goes back to the Medrash that we spoke about before, that the chesed that HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestows upon the descendants of Avram throughout the generations is a threefold chesed that covers the entire gamut of Midbar, of Eretz Canaan, of Lo Yosid Lavo, and why? So he says, because this schar is appropriate for the chesed of Avram. Avram's chesed is a chesed olam. It's an infinite, all-embracing, all-encompassing chesed. And now Klal Yisrael will receive in reward this all-encompassing chesed at Sof Kol HaDoros. Lo Rak B'Midbar, Lo Rak B'Eretz Canaan, Gam B'Yosid Lavo, Nizkel L'Chesed Hashem L'Rov Tuv. This is the chesed olam. This is the schar that's appropriate for the chesed olam of Avram Avinu. And he concludes his presentation by quoting that part of the Medrash in the name of Rabbi Eliezer. Ato amarta yukach nomat maim chayecha sheni porel lebonecha b'midbar b'yishuv u liyosid lov adol d'ksiv oz yashir ali be'er enu Hashem harei b'midbar. That's the be'er in the midbar, the be'era shel Miriam, be'eretz Kanan minayin, eretz nachle mayim. And then we also love Ominayin by Yoma Hu Yetsu Mayim Chayim Yerushalayim. So we should be Zochem Yitz Hashem to see the fulfillment of this mid of Chesed as a reward from Avram's Chesed Olam in our time. At the moment of Mashiach, at the moment of the ultimate Geula, Yetsu Mayim Chayim Yerushalayim, Ken Yiratzon. Amen.